All right, it's a little bit different because all the weekend shows are coming to you out in New York, except for me, coming to you as I always have out of the studios here in Atlanta, Georgia. So 680 The Fan, my proud home of the John Kincaid Show and home of the show I've been co-hosting for 20 years, Buck and Kincaid, on 680 The Fan. So we appreciate it. So since this show's coming out of Atlanta, I just want to give you a programming alert because it may shock some of you who've been listening. We're not going to talk about the 86 Mets. It's not going to come up. The 86 Mets are not going to come up. We are not going to talk about, we won't be getting into a lot of that. So I'm just giving you a warning. And I'm looking at my sheets here and notes. There's nothing on the Knicks. I've got nothing on the Knicks. I'm just sorry. But I think you're Knicks'd out. I think the people in the Midwest and the West and the South are a little Knicks'd out. In fact, you never knew the Knicks were that interesting. You never knew that they've even been relevant for a generation. So, so we're gonna skip that on the show today, just so you know. I'm going to start out with that. We'll give you a little bit of a different perspective. It is a different perspective. And it brings us to where we are today on May the 17th. And when I hear the host from New York, and I watch the national news, and I look at the national media, I watch Good Morning America, or come across what CNN or Fox or MSNBC have in the morning. I do enjoy Joe Scarborough. I'll tell you right off the bat. I enjoy Joe. I don't agree with Joe all the time. Joe and I have had many a discussion on social media, but I enjoy Joe. I enjoy listening to him. And it's amazing the difference between this story and how this story has evolved of the pandemic of 2020 and how it's affecting all of us in the United States. And not just sports-wise. But they're honestly, right now, there it seems like there is one story that is happening in California, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And then there is a completely different story that is playing out in almost every other state in the union. And so what that does is it feeds you with a constant drumbeat, doom and gloom. It's like a death knell. It's constant. It's a constant bad news cycle where this is a national radio network. And for most people in the country right now, for the vast majority of the country, it's a different story. And this is the trouble that the media has bringing it to you is, yes, this is still a very dangerous virus. This is still something we're going to be trying to navigate for the next year, probably, or until we can, you know, find a way to mitigate more successfully. But one thing that it is, it's different everywhere. Like, Anthony, you have not been to a restaurant, right? You haven't been to a restaurant. You've gotten takeout, right? You've gotten some takeout.
Some takeout.
You've gotten some takeout. That's it, right?
That's it.
We're eating in restaurants. Like where we're at, and by the way, where many of our listeners are at, in Georgia and Florida and Texas and South Carolina and different parts of the country. Las Vegas now, and our friends in Vegas. Like, we're eating in restaurants. Every other booth, I ate the first meal that I've eaten out inside a restaurant yesterday, where we like literally sat in the restaurant to eat. Every other booth at an IHOP, every other booth marked off with like tape with like a like an X on the booth, so it's not available. So if you've ever been in an IHOP, which I'm sure all of you have, every other booth was taken away with an X. And where there would normally be four tables sitting in the area, like between the aisles of booths, there were two. And everything set up and everybody doing social distancing as far as being able to have their table not be close to anyone else's. I was at a Lowe's the other day on Friday, picking up some stuff. Around 25% of people, 30% of people wearing masks. That number was like 75% 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we were opened for business here 24 days ago. We're over 3 weeks now. We're getting into 4 weeks. And thankfully, everything looking good. There's a lot of good news out there. And for those of you still, and I say it every single week at the beginning of the show, for those of you who have sacrificed your time and your talents, and I don't care what your time and your talents are. How about time, talents, and effort? Because there are truck drivers who have worked overtime to make sure the products get to our stores. There are store managers and store clerks that have worked double shifts to make sure the shelves are stocked, to make sure that we can check out and have all the things we need. There are the first responders, whether you're an EMT, whether you're a policeman, whether you're nurses and doctors and EMTs who really are on the front lines of keeping us all safe. God bless you all. So much respect. And thank you for helping us to come through this. Thank you for that. You are greatly respected. And I can't express my admiration anymore other than to say this. I'm proud of things I've done in my life. I'm proud that I try to be charitable. I try to give of my time and my talents to be charitable. I try to do some things. But you know what I've never done? I've never sacrificed years of my life, months of my life, even though it's a job, for the good of others. I never was in the service. Like my father, who didn't have a choice coming out of high school, coming out of Lower Merion High School, Kobe Bryant's alma mater. My dad was there first, though, so Kobe went to Tom Kincaid's alma mater and all my uncles. But I never sacrificed like that. And in some ways, that makes me feel a little inadequate that I never did something like that. You guys are just, and ladies, are just absolutely amazing, because we do have a lot of ladies that listen to the show, and I appreciate them all. All right, as we get started today, the world of Major League Baseball is unique. And I say it all the time. I have done this, whether it is the first time I went into a professional sports locker room was 1986 or 85. First time in professional sports locker rooms, we're probably in like 85, ran halfway through college. And it was the Phillies, and then the Philadelphia Stars, and then the Philadelphia Eagles. Getting, as they would say, sound, going in with a microphone and standing behind the beat writers of Philadelphia, hearing them ask questions, getting the answers, and many, many times not being able to find my own voice to speak up and ask a question as a teenager, and then a young man in the business. It was amazing. It was like you were walking into some hallowed grounds. But in my life in this business for years, I've been able to experience interacting with pro football, pro basketball, pro hockey, pro baseball players. And one thing I found is that if there is going to be something said that is going to be like, if you said to me, John, you're going to have next Sunday on the show, you're going to have an athlete in a sport is going to have said something stupid that the whole country is reacting to. And if you said, John, I give you $1,000 if you can name the sport, I would answer baseball every single time. Every time. An athlete's going to say something stupid. Now, if you said to me an athlete's going to do something stupid that's going to dominate it, I think I may go football. First of all, there's more athletes. So you got a better chance to be right. But say something stupid. Use words to say something stupid. I would bet baseball every single time. And that sounds like it's not fair. But bear with me for a minute. It is the idea that in baseball, I've seen it over the years. I believe that the football players, even basketball players, I don't know if it's having to spend some time in college, that that's sort of mandatory in order to find your way to a career for the most part, almost everybody, that I just find them to be a little more sharp, in tune, in touch. Life of a baseball player is nice. Pull up to a private airfield. Pull your car up. Have someone take your bags and put them onto a private jet. Fly first class custom jets city to city. Have someone pick up your bag, take it, put it on the bus. Have someone take it off the bus, bring it into the hotel for you. Oh, by the way, you're staying at a great hotel. A great hotel. It's all negotiated. And God bless you. God bless you. If you can find this in life, the great CEOs find it. Look, the CEO, though he's carrying his own bag, most likely, to and from the airplane. The great CEO, he's staying in a really nice hotel room, too. And damn well, you should get it. If you can get it good. America's great. It's awesome. But when I heard Blake Snell the other day talking about, damn, I'm risking my life, bro. I just realized Blake Snell goes and damages the entire brand of every Major League Baseball player. I'm risking my life, bro. No, you aren't, bro. Hey, bro, you're not. On your Twitch channel, in your luxury house or apartment. No, bro. You're not risking your life, bro. You're not. And guess what? If you think you're risking your life playing baseball, risking your life, I ask you, how many young, healthy, studly athletes or of that age, young people in great shape, prime of their lives, are in any way even being victimized by this virus? And more importantly, bro, you're risking your life, bro? You know who's risking their lives? The lady who checked me out at Walmart the other day. The man helping customers at Lowe's. Bro. The person who is who's delivering your food to and from your house. The person who is on the front lines, drawing blood. The doctor that's on the front lines with people on ventilators, bro. They're the ones, bro, that are risking their lives. For God's sakes, how can you be this dense? How can you be this out of touch? And more importantly, bro, what you do is you end up making it seem like every Major League Baseball player feels the same way. And I can tell you, when the comments came out about Blake Snell, I sent a text to a few professional baseball players I know. And I just asked them, what do you think of Blake Snell's comments? And they're like, he doesn't speak for me. Now I'm going to have to answer to that. Now we all get painted with that brush. Bro, I'm risking my life, bro. It's not worth it. They're not going to pay me. I don't know what the word is, but we're not going to pay. They're not paying me. Really? Blake? Less than $2 million? Around $2 million, if it is, after taxes, and they're going to tax me on it. That was the best part. They're going to tax me on it. Really, Blake? Really? They're going to tax you on it. God forbid. You got to get taxed on all those millions. It's amazing. Here's the message. I assure you, don't let Blake Snell be your image of Major League Baseball players. Because I guarantee you, the vast majority of them, not the majority of them, the vast majority do not feel like he feels. They don't feel like they are on the front lines of COVID-19 if they're going to be asked to play baseball. I assure you, they don't. And I would say the vast majority, because they know they will be in an environment where they're tested every day, where they're young and they're healthy. It's ignorant. And bro went a long way towards making his peers look stupid. And they said nothing. Don't let Blake Snell be your spokesperson. That's how you turn public opinion against you. I know you're going to want to get in with us at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. You know, Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. This is something everybody should be interested in. How about a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term? I want you to visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility. I want you to share your thoughts on that. And I promise you, I heard Blake Snell speak. I was embedded with a baseball team for a week just back in March at spring training, beginning of March. And I can assure you, I spoke to no athlete who sounded like him, at least in the Braves clubhouse. Not one. That is that out of touch. Don't let him be your idea of what the Major League Baseball Players Association is. Hey, the NFL says, come back to work, sort of. We'll get to that first, next, plus your calls. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Great to have you on board the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Hope get pretty fired up on a Sunday morning here. Glad to be with you. Really do enjoy having the opportunity to speak to you every week. Some sense of normalcy for me, too. And no matter where you are, love hearing from you at 855-212-4CBS. I just wanted to make sure that got out there. That I can tell you in my career in sports radio, and I'm not a big locker room guy, even though I've worked for professional sports franchises before. Worked for coaching staff before with the Philadelphia Flyers. I can tell you the professional athletes that I interact with and have interacted with remind me nothing of Blake Snell. So I just wanted to make sure that was the message today. Because I've heard a lot of people trying to depict it as that this is how Major League Baseball athletes are. And I can assure you that there are many very bright, civic-minded, charitable, interesting, and certainly not, bro. My daughter said it best. I played the soundbite for my 16-year-old daughter. And my daughter heard it. And I said, listen to this. And she said, he sounds like a dopey middle schooler. And I was like, that's perfect. That's perfect. He sounds like a dopey middle schooler. Bro, I'm risking my life, bro. Hey, bro, no, you aren't. Playing video games on a Twitch channel in your luxury digs. And guess what? To go back and play baseball? No, you're not risking your life. I've been to work every single day. Every single day of the pandemic. Except the days I have off. And you know what I'm not saying? I'm risking my life, bro. No, I'm not, bro. Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. National Football League teams are allowed to open up their training facilities if the local communities accept it and say that it's allowed. So, like, the Giants won't be opening, the Atlanta Falcons, where I am, are, and that is what's going to happen. So you're going to start to see that this week. And it's going to be very controlled. It's not teams coming and having practice. It's guys being able to come in, work out in the facilities, and to be able to do stuff. One thing I would note, though, is, and read between the lines this week, Major League Baseball said, hey, we're getting together. We're trying to come up with a plan to get back. We're going to give the players a proposal. Here's the owner's proposal. And the day that they announced that was happening, within an 18-hour period, the governor of Arizona said, we're open for business for professional sports. And then the governor of Florida said, we're open for business for professional sports. If you think that was coincidence, it wasn't. What does every Major League Baseball team do? Every one of them. They go to Arizona or they go to Florida. Every single year to operate business. What does every single Major League Baseball team have? A home in Florida or Arizona. And this is, look, this is just an absolute guess. Absolute assumption on my part. So it's not based on facts or anything. I'll believe when baseball comes back that the Yankees and the Mets and the Phillies and the Blue Jays and probably Boston would play in Florida. And then you'd have so many teams that were playing each other that would be playing in Florida. I do not believe we will see, when baseball comes back, we will see the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Not to begin with. Now, that doesn't mean that they couldn't be back in August or September. But to start the Major League Baseball season, when I do believe they will start in July, I'll stick with my thought that we're going to have the game starting in Florida or Arizona. And then that's where the teams will play. And if you had the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins, I guess they like to be called now, and you had the Nationals, the Mets, the Phillies, all playing in Florida, throw in the Red Sox and the Yankees and everything, playing in Florida at least for a month, month and a half, it'd be really easy to have Major League Baseball. In fact, all the teams that would be scheduled to play each other, since it would be East-East, Central-Central, West-West, you'd be able to have teams. The only teams that would be affected are the Central Division teams, as far as ever having to do any kind of plane travel. You could do all the travel by bus in Major League Baseball, all around the state of Florida. Arizona, too. In fact, it's even more compact and close together in Arizona. So if they don't want to open up Los Angeles and they don't want to open up major cities, no matter. Dodgers go to Dodgers take their trip. San Diego and the Giants, anybody else who has to, goes and takes their trip. It's not hard to execute. With Major League Baseball, you already have facilities. And by the way, these are already camera-ready facilities. And this is what we're going to be talking about. We're not going to be talking about fans in the stands. We'll be talking about the games, made-for-television events. And all these spring training facilities are already set up for multiple cameras for ESPN, baseball coverage, and everything like that. So it's all ready. They just got to get down to it. If you want to share a thought with us, you can at 855-212-4CBS. 815-212-4CBS. I do like the idea that baseball saying, yeah, there's going to be no spitting. I don't even understand this one. They're saying it's in common, like compact areas. So I guess that means the dugout. You can't spit in the dugout, but you can spit on the grass. You can spit when you're on the field where there might be wind, where someone else gets some of your spittle on them. I mean, there are so many things being discussed right now, and so many of them to me seem like they aren't even thought out at all.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
I'd greatly appreciate it. Love interacting with you all. John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Always makes me hungry for a Vegemite sandwich. What is a Vegemite sandwich? Is it like Nutella? I don't do Nutella. Yesterday, Olivia got Nutella on pancakes, which I thought was going to make me gag. Watching, you a Nutella fan, Anthony? Any Nutella in your past or future?
I can't remember the last time I had Nutella.
Oh, so you have had it, though.
I think so. It's like one of those things I've had.
It looks like it looks almost like a chocolate peanut butter. It really does.
I love peanut butter.
Oh. Okay, it looks almost like a chocolate peanut butter. And I have no idea why people are eating it. It's not doing much for me. But 855-212-4CBS, if you want to join us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. I guess I'll be the only voice. It's never bothered me before. It won't bother me now. The more we breathlessly await the last episode of The Last Dance. Everybody just falling all over themselves to tell you, this is the greatest thing ever. Okay, that's fine. If you're telling me the highlights being led down the path of understanding what these teams did to go try to win championships, that's pretty awesome then. I'm going to give you my full agreement at that point. But again, what's happened in The Last Dance is exactly what I expected to happen. If you make a docuseries on the life of John Kincaid, and I get to have editorial control over it, let me just assure you, you're not getting all the stories. Or you're getting a version of the stories that are very, very different. What this is, The Last Dance, it's great highlights. It's great memory lane. And I mean great with a capital G. Great. Awesome. And I loved getting to witness them and getting to sort of understand the greatness of Jordan. But make no mistake about it. I mean, seriously, no mistake about it at all. This is Michael Jordan telling you the story of Michael Jordan. This is not someone else with an actual objective eye telling you the story of Michael Jordan. Yeah, Michael, what's it? Yeah, my dad wanted to see me play baseball. My dad wanted me to be a baseball player. That's how I became a baseball player. Really? Really? That's the story, is it? Interesting. Gary in Jacksonville joins us. Gary, you're in the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, John. I'd like to switch gears a little bit, if I may.
To what?
This notion of improving teams' draft picks, the Bieniemy thing. I think what hurt Bieniemy was Kansas City's success, and that they're not allowed to interview him. Why the team's still in the playoffs? Yeah. And I mean, they need to change that rule more than anything. I think, you know, people think, well, it's blatant racism. I think so. Owners.
Well, I'm going to get into that. I haven't even talked about that this morning. I appreciate your call. I haven't talked about it yet. Thank you, though. I'm gonna move on. I haven't even discussed the topic yet. I'll give my thoughts on the topic next hour, on what I feel about that. Sabah, North Carolina, joins us. Sabah, how are you this morning?
Hey there, sir. As always, as usual, a pleasure to wake up with you on Sunday morning.
Thank you very much. What's going on this morning?
I've got an issue. I just want to run by you. And
all right.
People sometimes don't like this analogy that I have. Uh-oh. So these athletes that are putting themselves in danger and then, you know, they want to be quarantined if there's somebody that's positive and don't want to come home ever or whatever, you know, they don't want to bring stuff back to their families. How many of these guys with these pregnancies out of wedlock?
Well,
how much of that do they bring back to their families?
Well,
and
I'm not.
These guys like the Quentin Dunbars of the world who are out partying at a poker event, was he risking his life? I'm just curious.
Well, the thing is, though, that's why I say you can't let Blake Snell, Sabah, you can't let Blake Snell color your thought process about what professional athletes are like. And that's why I told people at the beginning of the show, they're not like Blake Snell. They aren't.
Right, but there's plenty of them, right? Would you agree? Plenty of them risk their lives doing.
Oh yeah, in risky behaviors. Oh, absolutely. How
right.
about?
And now they want to act like that. This is a risky behavior playing sports for millions of dollars.
How about getting involved in gun violence?
Right.
That's always that's always or being in play. How about this?
Yeah.
Going places where you know you don't feel safe going without carrying a gun.
Yes.
That's far more risky
right.
than going and playing Major League Baseball.
Yeah, or your wife that's at the house waiting to get beat up by you because you're in a bad mood.
Well, that's, I got you.
This just cracks me up when they act like now all of a sudden they want to be so keen.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that don't, yeah. that's what I'm saying. I think you're making a mistake here, though. Don't judge athletes by Blake Snell. He's not like the vast majority of them that I know and interact with. So I got to run. Thanks, Sabah. I hope you have a great day. Tommy in Alabama joins us. Tommy, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
I'm blessed. AJK, Roll Tide Roll and Fly from the South, second biggest Eagles fan.
Oh, that's good. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. I like the Flyers and Sixers, too, but anyway. Hey, man, I used to date an Aussie, and she lived in a pretty little town called Coolum Beach, Australia, which is in Queensland. And I actually tried Vegemite over there. They really don't eat Vegemite sandwiches. It's got a real stout taste, so they really just tip a piece of toast with.
What does stout taste mean? Well, I don't even know what when you use the word stout with taste, what does it mean?
Well,
strong,
it's crazy,
overpowering?
Man, it's called Vegemite, but it tastes like a salty beef.
Oh God. And it's a spread?
It's a spread, but you can't, they like dab their toast. They don't really spread it on the toast. They dab it,
Oh, my God. Well, then how did the lady,
how
did the lady give him a Vegemite sandwich then?
I'm not sure, man.
Oh. Thank you, buddy. You're cutting in and out of us. I got to let you run. God bless you. Hopefully you have a great day. Oh, my gosh. That sounds awful. A salty beef spread. That sounds absolutely wretched. That sounds awful. By the way, Anthony, you know what tonight is in our household? Sunday night?
Are you doing some grilling tonight?
Yeah, it's steak night. I have now become, I gotta
a
tell you, this
griller?
Is, this no, 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 no. This is the best thing, though, to come out of the, best thing to come out of the pandemic in our house is that my wife says now, wow, my husband really likes to cook. And I never have been a person that wants to cook. I was raised in a household where I wasn't allowed to be in the kitchen. Like mom would say, get out of the kitchen. My mom did not open up her kitchen for business and just say, yeah, come on out. Come on out. Let me show you something. My mom chased us out of the kitchen. I'm cooking. Get out. Now, it was a very small kitchen. Very, very small. So I never learned to cook in a kitchen. That was off limits. I had to stay away from the kitchen. Get out of her hair. Man, I can't even. What I'm learning on the grill is helping out. Now, for guys out there in the audience, you got to give me a little heads up. So the grill has a lid on it, so I can put the lid down, and then it has a temperature gauge on the lid, so I can tell what temperature I've got it regulated at. So if you're looking to cook steaks, do you cook them with the lid closed or the lid open? As I never had a grill with a lid in my life. Like I never had that. I haven't had a grill in a long time. So I never had one with a lid on it. So I never know. Do you cook the stuff with the lid down? Or do you cook with the lid up? Do you heat up the grill, get it to a certain temperature, then lift it? I'm a little confused as far as that's concerned. But the last two efforts, and it's been Steak Sunday in our house. The last two efforts, Anthony, have gotten rave reviews from the girls.
You haven't gotten anybody sick.
No. The first time, though,
got somebody sick.
No, the first time I did not. Let's put it this way. I made like a saucy. I tried to like marinate the steaks, and I guess I over-marinated them.
Does your wife grill?
No. Now, she'll cook, but she doesn't grill. She is thrilled right now. Because right now, as it stands, I've been taking two meals a week off her hands. and she's loving life. She's like, this is awesome. Absolutely loving it. So any pointer you can pass along would be greatly appreciated. You you got the opportunity to be able to give me a little bit of a pointer. I don't know. Do you get it to a temperature with the lid down, then put the steaks on, and then put the lid back down? And you hit. I hear so many different things from so many different people. But I've learned how to make my own rub. How about that? Anthony, I know you're probably familiar with your own rub. It's probably something you've probably perfected by now. Something very Italian. Something a little spicy. Maybe we'll trade some recipes later. 855-212-4CBS. We get to the end of The Last Dance tonight, and I don't know what a lot of sports talk radio hosts are going to talk about. I don't know what they're going to be able to do without The Last Dance to lean on. That has been pretty much the topic of conversation. It's been fun to watch, though. It has been fun. With NFL teams going back to work, well, sort of, facilities being open, opportunities for players to be able to get back in the building. And obviously, from team to team, state to state, the rules are going to be different. There are different rules, different standards that are in place as far as what people are allowed to do. So they're trying very hard to make sure that not one team doesn't get a competitive advantage over the other. One interesting thing is this. Sean Payton, known as one of the best coaches in the NFL, I mean, I don't think it's a question that this guy's one of the best that the NFL has to offer. And Sean Payton doesn't even feel the need to do the remote training with his team. He's very confident, and they know what's going on. Because he's not even doing the remote training with his players. Other franchises are doing it. Saints are good. Saints are good. Sean Payton thinks his team's very well prepared. This is interesting to me. He's a believer that, my players are going to be ready to go. It's one confident man. Probably for good reason, though. Sean Payton has found a way to win a lot more than a lot of coaches. Richard in Myrtle Beach joins us. Richard, you're on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, John. Two things real quick. If somebody said, Rich, I can hook you up with somebody for 3 hours, have a drink, talk sports with, it would be you. I like your honesty, and if you make a mistake, I appreciate the way you are, buddy. I listen to you every time.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that very much.
This Broham in baseball, he ought to keep his mouth shut. If he's worrying about his health, just shut up and stay home and don't get anything.
Yeah,
don't
stay
make
home.
No money.
Stay home. Right. And guess what? He shouldn't be, if he decides to stay home, he shouldn't be ridiculed for it, right? Let him stay home. That's his choice.
Right. The other thing is, baseball will never be like the NFL. But the best thing I think baseball can do to help the reputation is shut up about the money, think about all the people unemployed, not making any money, trying to get food for the family, and just play ball, do what it takes, and I think that would help their image, and more people would get back into baseball.
Richard, how's Myrtle Beach doing?
All the malls have been open for the last week or two. The beaches have been open for 3 weeks, and we've had nice weather here.
Good.
And
I'm glad to see people. I'm glad to see people get a chance. Thank you, buddy. I don't want to rush you through, John in Chicago, but give me some quick grilling tips.
Morning, JK.
Hi,
first question I got to know is, how many burners do you have on your grill?
Two.
Two? All right.
Yeah.
So how do you like your steaks?
Medium, like medium to medium, like around medium is best. A hot pink center.
Medium?
Hot pink center. And I have the meat thermometer. I have the meat thermometer to get him to 145, I was told.
That's a medium rare.
Okay. So you want a little more than that then?
Close the lid when you light it. After you light it, close the lid. I light my grill with the lid closed.
Okay.
And I start with the front burner. This is a gas grill, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you keep the lid shut, get it as high a temperature as possible because you want to sear the steaks and keep the juices in.
All right, you got 10 seconds. Give it to me. Do I flip them once or flip them twice?
Flip once, and you should be good to go.
There you go, buddy. Thank you, man. Look at that. I learn something new every day. All right, we got a lot coming up, including the NFL's craziest plan ever. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.